When you look at the parsha, there's an obvious question. The Ramban asked the question. All the Mefarshim deal with this. How could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu made the mistake, so to speak, in the Meraglim? Klal Yisrael makes a mistake is one thing, but Moshe Rabbeinu here seems to agree with them. He sends the spies. It says, Vayitav ve'enei hadavar. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I thought it was a good idea. What did Moshe Rabbeinu think, so to speak? Seemingly, we all understand that Hashem said it's a good land. Why are you sending spies? What are you asking questions for? And not only that, 40 years later, after the Jewish people, all the generation that was in the Chet HaMeraglim, they all died out. Moshe Rabbeinu goes, and they're fighting the war to capture the Eber HaYarden, the other side of the Jordan. And again, they send spies. Yeshua sends spies again. So are spies a good thing or a bad thing? That's the Ramban's question. Says the Ramban, there's nothing wrong with sending spies. Klal Yisrael, when they fight, as you see in Yeshua and the Navi, when they fight, Klal Yisrael fights the wars, they do all the regular hishtadlus of any army. They ambush, they plan, they strategize, they build war weapons. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's supposed to be that way. So what is the sin? If Meraglim was a necessary, regular way of hishtadlus, then what was the sin of the Meraglim? What was the beginning of the sin? Alter from Kelim, or Simchas Yisrael Ziv, he explains like this. He says, you have to look in Parshas Dvarim. Moshe Rabbeinu says how the Meraglim, so to speak, started. How the whole idea started. And he says, "Batikrevun elai kulchem," and you all came in front of me. Says Rashi, what is the language of kulchem? Be'irvuvia. And like a mob. It wasn't the usual way that the elders come to Moshe. It was everyone, kids, adults, women, children, everyone came running, screaming, we need to send Meraglim. There was a panic. There was a drama. There was anxiety. It wasn't done in an orderly fashion. So what? What that means, says the Alter from Kelim, is that there's a fundamental difference in hishtadlus. There's hishtadlus when a person recognizes the other Marishan has sinned. He ate from the Eitz Hadas. He was cursed with Zeyas HaPecha Toich Alechem. That Hashem said, although I run the world, you have a curse, and now you have to go through the pain of hishtadlus. You have to go and kind of pay up a debt and work a certain amount, and then I'll give you what you deserve. That's hishtadlus. That's how a person sees life. Then there's the mistaken version, where a person thinks that he runs the show. And if he doesn't do anything he possibly could do, it just may not happen. That, the way you can tell which way a person is looking at something depends on how he approaches it. If a person approaches it calmly, he understands that, look, Hashem is going to give me what I need. I have to pay up, but I have to pay up. Okay, that's calm. When a person panics, when a person stresses out, when a person starts getting desperate, what that means is he thinks that there's a chance he might not get what he's supposed to get. Even if he does everything he could, he may not get it. So he's nervous, he freaks out. That's the biggest sign, says Alter from Kelim, that he's not approaching the hishtadlus with the right vision. He's approaching it that it's a helpless situation. Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, realizes in Parshas Dvarim that that was the biggest sign that their meraglim that they were asking for were not the right meraglim. They should have waited till Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, send meraglim, we're beginning the process. They come running up with the whole stress and the whole drama. That's the biggest sign that it came from the wrong place. The saddest thing, says the Alter from Kelim, is that when a person does that, when a person jumps the gun, when a person panics and starts doing hishtadlus because he's freaked out, as opposed to doing the right type of hishtadlus, which is a recognition that Hashem runs the world and he's just paying up his debt, is that the siyata d'shmaya, that help that Hashem usually gives, it gets removed. And that's how the Chet HaMeraglim happened. Once they made that mistake, then Hashem let the Yetzer Hara start convincing them. And they started. They came back with negative reports. They convinced Klal Yisrael that it was dangerous. And that's how everything spiraled out of control. Because the siyata d'shmaya that usually is given was removed. The second a person panics and says he's in charge, then Hashem says, okay, you're in charge. Good luck. I might say, from guy, from girl, there's a lot on our plates. There's a lot to do. And the bill of hishtadlus might be quite high. Houses and from neighborhoods are expensive. Taxes are expensive. Tuition is expensive. Kosher food is expensive. There's a lot on our plates. And yeah, there's a lot. It's hard. You have a lot of work to do, a lot cut out for us. But there's a fundamental difference. We can't panic about it. We can't stress out about it. We work hard, we push ourselves, we accomplish, but we can't stress about it. The second we stress about it, we're telling Hashem that it's up to me. And that's wrong. It's never up to us. We have a bill to pay, but Hashem runs the world. He makes it, and He's going to take care of us. And that can be seen by our attitude of how we deal with it. I just want to add a story. Kind of brings out this point a little bit. Around 30 years ago, Philadelphia Yeshiva had a big fire. Baruch Hashem, no one was hurt in the fire, but they lost a lot of their property, their dorms, their high school building, and they had to rebuild. So Moshe Reichman, Zechariah Levracha, he was nice enough to give them a very, very large loan for 5 years. $500,000 loan. So over the 5 years, they fundraised, they managed to get $300,000, and it was around a couple months left to the deadline for the loan, and he still owed around $200,000. So they didn't know what to do. They said, okay, we're going to have to hold an emergency parlor meeting, fundraiser, and they held, all the alumni, they got everyone together, they tried making an emergency appeal, gave great speeches, showed the pictures from the fire, and lo and behold, at the end of the night, they raised $20,000. Fine, another $180,000 to go, 2 or 3 months left. So they're waiting, and sure enough, a couple weeks before the time to pay up the loan, they get a letter from a lawyer that there's a woman somewhere out in the Midwest who loved the yeshiva. She left them $180,000 from her estate in her will. So Rabbi Yisrael commented to somebody, and he said, Hashem was nice to us. He showed us that we do our ishtadlus over here. We have our parlor meeting. And He'll give us the money from somewhere else. He doesn't want to make us making that mistake that it comes from our ishtadlus. He wants us to know we have to do our ishtadlus, and then He'll give the gift from somewhere else. Everybody, that's always how it is. Sometimes Hashem's nice enough and He shows us that the two are not connected. And sometimes He lets us have that struggle of trying to decide for ourselves and to make that recognition that the ishtadlus happens to pay up the debt of ishtadlus, and the gifts come from Hashem.